Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1640, Unhappy at Work, Ways to Create More Meaning and Money in Your Career with certified professional coach, Eliana Goldstein.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru, Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
What I always like to tell my clients ultimately when it comes to negotiation, because as I'm sure you've discussed, you know, in depth on this podcast, is the fear and the insecurity that comes up during salary negotiations. And so often I say it has nothing to do with like the actual steps, right? Because negotiating actually isn't that hard. It's very possible for everyone, but it's the mindset that gets in the way and the fear that gets in the way. Is really walking into your negotiation and thinking about it as a value exchange.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm Farnoosh Torabi. If you are dissatisfied at work or in your profession, you are not alone. Workplace satisfaction is at an all-time low. We can guess as to why. My guest today will help us dig into this and also provide practical solutions so that we can go back into our professions and actually find more meaning and more money. Eliana Goldstein is a certified professional coach and speaker. She's the founder of Eliana Goldstein Coaching, where she's supported thousands of individuals in both securing new roles and in building careers where they can genuinely look forward to Monday mornings. No more Sunday scaries. Eliana serves as the resident career coach for CBS Morning News, and she's been featured everywhere, including MSNBC, Fast Company. We talk about that dream job that seems to not exist, but how to create it on your own terms, her hot takes on quiet quitting, and the wrong way we've been going about negotiating. Here's Eliana Goldstein. Eliana Goldstein, welcome to So Money. Very excited to get your advice, as I know many of us in the audience are pivoting or we're entering the job market for the first time and we want to make good money, but we also want to be happy. Is that possible? You say yes. Thank you in advance for all your advice.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You are really in it. You're in it helping largely millennials and Gen Z find directionality and purpose and money in their professions. We want it all.
Yep.
And this is not translating well in the workplace. Our pursuit versus what we are actually experiencing in the workplace, there is a disconnect where many, if not a majority of younger workers say they're dissatisfied at work. Can you tell us what are the driving forces behind that right now?
You know, I think in the past, when we look at, you know, prior generations, work was really just that. It was work. You came in to do a job, to get your things done, and then you left. Now we recognize, and there's so much of an emphasis on work-life balance and finding meaning in your life, that people want that same meaning and they want that same impact from work. So they want to be able to go in and get their job done, but feel like, you know, it's having a larger purpose when they're doing that. They want to feel like the work that they're doing is being recognized. They want to feel like they actually, you know, have that mental well-being support and just feeling good about themselves in the workplace. And, you know, I would say there are some companies that are kind of catching on to that and trying to be supportive of that. There are some companies that probably completely disagree and feel like we should still kind of focus on the strict definition of work. But all these, you know, all these thoughts are kind of almost causing this awakening about how we think about work in general. And I think the pandemic too, which really put an emphasis on our lives and how we work, has also brought all that into the spotlight. So all of that is like causing, call it this dissatisfaction, or at least this emphasis in thinking about how do we pursue and how do we really think about work going forward.
Mm. Compared to older generations, I'm Gen X. I'm on the border of Gen X, Gen Y, and say boomers. Were those older generations as dissatisfied? Why or why not?
It's an interesting question. I would say that they probably weren't as dissatisfied, but at the same time, there was just a different emphasis on work, right? And there are so many other factors going on that led to, you know, call it higher satisfaction, just in terms of like, your job being able to produce enough income to be able to buy a house, right? Like so many other factors that obviously are more difficult for millennials and Gen Zers right now. So I think that there was an attitude and there was an overall mentality of, okay, you go to work to make money and that's it. And because we're now kind of questioning those things, people are thinking about it differently, right? At the same time, I do believe that there's something to be taken from those, you know, prior generations in terms of being able to have more of a distinction between work and life and being able to say, you know what, like a job is a job. It's not always going to be perfect. And, you know, some days are going to be great. Some days aren't going to be great. And I can't like fall and crumble and fall apart if I have a bad day at work, right? But I just think there were so many different factors at play that led to more overall fulfillment in your life overall versus like kind of call it like the bad hand that millennials and Gen Zs feel that they've been dealt in certain ways.
Yeah, I would say my guess is that the pressure to earn, to be able to support your life is greater now, where, 100%. You know, 40 years ago, the cost of living relative to what we were earning, there was a closer match there. And
exactly.
I think, you know, I want to hear from you sort of what are those pressures, financial pressures, I suppose, you know, taking one element from this, you know, dream job equation where, you know, the dream job is, and I'm using air quotes, you know, it pays well, is satisfying, it's meaningful work, I'm making an impact, it's contributing to my wellness, all these things. And then later I want to ask about like, how realistic is that? But talk about some of the financial pressures that's really leading to this dissatisfaction. Are we just so underpaid as well?
A lot of people are definitely underpaid. Obviously, it's very industry specific and it's very role specific. But I think now, especially as we're seeing layoffs still continue to happen, not only are people, you know, getting paid a certain amount for the job that they're doing, but now they're being expected to take on more responsibility, right? Now you have to account for like the loss of headcount. And now I'm doing two people's jobs while still maintaining the same salary. So there's a lot of pressure that people are feeling. Again, obviously with so many places, you know, thinking about prior generations, like I think in the past, it used to be more of a typical 9-to-5, right? Those were your hours. That's not really the case for a lot of places, right? You might be expected to be answering emails in the middle of the night or working till really late. And people are feeling rightfully so, well, if I'm going to be doing that, I want to be compensated for that, right? So I think a lot of those things are going into people's minds and feeling like there's always the question of, could I be making more elsewhere? Is this just kind of the status quo, or do I need to be smart and be considering other options where I could be getting compensated better? So those thoughts are always going through people's minds, and they should be, right? You should always kind of be open to exploring options and seeing like, am I being paid my fair value right now?
So much of your job is probably in the beginning when you're working with clients, like doing a level set, like a reality check-in, because, and this gets us back to this idea of what is a dream job? Does it really exist?
Yeah.
how much of your work is walking your clients through the, you know, that balance of like, okay, this is what's realistic, this is what's aspirational, and this is where you can really move the needle. What is the dream job in your view? Like, how do you help your clients land on an equation of a job, a work-life balance that they feel good about and they can advocate for?
Well, I think, you know, again, the dream job in air quotes, meaning there is no perfect dream job, and whatever that looks like is different for every person. And I think that's kind of that's the beginning piece of it. I think a lot of the times when we think about success in our careers, that is dictated by other people, by our parents, by society, by our friends around us. And as a result, so many of us are pursuing this career path that once we actually achieve it, doesn't even feel good to us. Like, I know for myself, I was always taught like, make as much money as you can, save that money. That's what you need. And I did that. I achieved that like for a decade of my career, but it didn't feel good at all. It's really like first and foremost, thinking about what is important to me. Is it to be able to put away money so that I can save and, you know, hit certain milestones in the future? Or is it that I genuinely want like freedom and flexibility and I want to, you know, be able to travel whenever I can? We have to really think about that first and foremost and what that definition looks like for us. And then be able to almost reverse engineer it and set the goals in motion to make that happen. And that's a lot of what I want to focus on with people, really figuring out, okay, what does that look like for me? And if I am pursuing the money, is that really what I should be doing? Or is there kind of a balance that needs to happen? And from there, you know, I think a really big part of, again, the dream job in quotations is ultimately doing work that is enjoyable, that engages you. And again, I think people often think like, work is work. I'm not meant to enjoy it. But if we're going to be spending a third of our lives working, I'm a big believer that we should be able to enjoy like at least 70% of that, right? Like, again, not going to be perfect, but my golden rule is kind of like 70% of what you're doing, you should be enjoying. So that really goes back to also understanding, what is it that I actually enjoy, right? Like, what are the projects? What are the tasks? What is the work that I'm doing that actually engages me and why, right? And once I have an understanding of that, how do I increase that? Or how do I pivot to decrease some of the work that I don't enjoy doing? So it's like a lot of that exploratory work that we can then leverage to kind of like make more tangible moves and pivots.
You're really putting the power in the hand of the worker. Whereas earlier, you know, we were talking about how some of this at least is up to the employer, right? To create that environment, to know what their employees really want and meet them where they're at. You know, you hear a lot about quiet quitting and soft life. Yeah. And what are your hot takes on those trends, especially now where maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, when employers were scrambling to hire, you could sort of like check out and it wouldn't cost you. But now I feel like you have to really show up and do the work. Otherwise, companies are being a lot shrewder these days.
Yeah. No matter what, depending on the industry that you're in, like you're an employer, you're hired for a purpose and you have to check certain boxes, right? Like that's never going away. I do think that it's not so much about like a lot of it, as I was saying, is about self-advocacy, right? And being able to like, part of the reason that I say, figure out what it is that I'm good at, what is it that I want to do more of, is because it's on you as an employee and as an individual to have an understanding of that so that you can bring that to your manager, so that you can bring that to your employer and say, hey, you know, I recognize these are the projects that I'm really engaged in, and this is what I really enjoy doing. I'd love to do more of that, right? Like that's always going to be a big part of it, that self-advocacy, that making yourself visible, you know, not just necessarily like doing whatever you can to, you know, not get fired, right? Like you do need to work on those strategies to be able to grow and mobilize. But at the same time, you know, employers need to also recognize, you know, based on, you know, my workforce and again, what generation are they a part of? Like what are kind of like the main facets that are important to them, right? Is it recognition? Is it having an impact? Is it internal mobility and thinking about those larger themes and being able to support their employees from that perspective? And then again, simultaneously, like making sure as an employee, you are always self-advocating for yourself and being able to, you know, voice what it is that's important to you. It's like a balance of those two things.
Yeah, I love that advice. There was another piece of advice I got once, actually it was on this show. So if you've been listening to So Money, maybe you heard it a while back. It was a woman who had many different careers. You know, she was a Renaissance woman, I suppose. And I asked her, you know, how did she know what was the right next move for her? How did she approach the pivots? And she said, you know, money's important, but it was the question she would always go back to was, what is the impact that I want to make now? Mm-hmm. Which evolves, right? You learn and grow, and your ambition towards what is the impact that you want to make in your career is, you're allowed to change that. And I think that's important. We sort of lose sight of the importance of like being flexible. We are sometimes afraid to make pivots or try a new role or apply ourselves to something that we haven't done before because we're afraid of failure. We're afraid of a setback. But what's your advice? I'm sure clients come up with this all the time to you.
Like you said, it's always evolving, right? And that you can be in different phases of your life and career where maybe there is a period of your life where you are going hard after the money, right? Because there's some type of savings goal that you're working towards, and that's really important to you. And at that point, you're just going to kind of put your head down, really focus on, let me get a promotion, let me get a raise. And then maybe in another phase of your career, it is really more of like the impact driven work and being able to, you know, work on a project that's really meaningful to you, even if it isn't necessarily a project that's really advancing your career. So I think it's always like kind of staying in tune with that part of yourself and really thinking about what is meaningful to me at this point in my career and how do I align my goals? How do I align my actions with those specific things, knowing that it's going to ebb and flow and that's completely fine, right? You got to do what feels best for you in the moment. Absolutely.
You brought up money. So let's shift a little bit to negotiating and earning more. Covered a lot of this on the podcast in many episodes, you know, just in the importance of doing your research, being data driven in that conversation, not making it too emotional, knowing your value that is not your worth, right? Yes. That's an easy thing to mix up. And knowing your salary band, for example, at your job is also a critical piece of information because it can give you a sense of what is the potential for your role, your earnings in that role. What else? Like, what else are we not thinking about? What is sort of the trick or the hack or the advice that you love to give that you've seen work over and over again?
So, you know, we've been talking about kind of how the workforce has changed and how, you know, we can be flexible about how we see things and we can get creative about how we see our careers and our roles. Some like advice that I always like to give people is the fact that when we think about salary negotiations, it's not limited to just compensation and salary, right? Especially when we're thinking about like benefits and well-being and all those things. And really going back to that notion of focusing on what is important to you in your life at that moment. And my rule of thumb is if it's like listed as a benefit on the company website, then it's negotiable, right? So maybe that's some type of a stipend towards learning and development. Maybe there's like a course or certification that you've been dying to get and you, you know, would love support in being able to pay for that. Maybe you talk to them about, hey, can I, you know, it's really thinking about what are the benefits that are going to be important to me. And, you know, because sometimes you'll be at a standstill with a company and maybe they've kind of hit their limit in terms of what they can give you from a compensation standpoint, but you feel like there's more that you want to derive from that. So really thinking about what are other benefits that I can negotiate on that might be important to me. Like I said, whether it's learning and development, whether it's your healthcare benefits, whether it's vacation days, right? Really thinking through all those different types of benefits and being able to bring those into the conversation. And aligning that with the values that are important to you in your career is a really big one. And then something else, you know, you mentioned before, like your kind of the difference between your value and your worth. And I think that's a really important one to think about. What I always like to tell my clients ultimately when it comes to negotiation, because as I'm sure you've discussed, you know, in depth on this podcast is the fear and the insecurity that comes up during salary negotiations. And so often I say it has nothing to do with like the actual steps, right? Because negotiating actually isn't that hard. It's very possible for everyone, but it's the mindset that gets in the way and the fear that gets in the way. Is really walking into your negotiation and thinking about it as a value exchange, right? I'm not just going and arbitrarily asking them to give me more money and being like, hey, give me another 15K, right? Ultimately, you're saying I'm looking for more compensation in exchange for this additional value that I am bringing you. And if you are clear on what that value is and you really see it tangibly, it makes it a lot easier to have that conversation and be able to describe in detail, like, hey, this is exactly what I can do. This is the ROI you're going to see when you invest more in me, right? So those are the things that I like to remind people of, and being super clear on what their like physical and specific value is.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a double A or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
You know, TikTok is full of bad advice, and yes. I'm sure you have come across some bad career advice. Like, I've seen things like, well, quiet quitting obviously is a little controversial because it comes down to like, who can afford to do that?
Yeah.
You know, it's not safe advice to give that to somebody and then they do it and then, you know, it backfires. What have you seen online that you really want to, it's like a myth you want to dispel, or it's advice that you want to clarify because you feel like it's really being misunderstood or misconstrued, which, you know, we're talking about our careers here, which, you know, there's high stakes we're talking about.
Very high stakes. I would say the most typical advice that I see, and there's a, like you said, there's a whole lot of call it bad advice out there. But when we, as we've been talking about, you know, fulfillment and finding engagement and satisfaction in your career, one of the common things that we always hear is chase your passion, right? If you work in your passion, you'll be happy. All your problems will be solved. Everything will be perfect. And I'm a big believer that is just not the case. There's a lot of reasons that that's just, you know, inaccurate and not fair. But, you know, I often like to tell people, imagine you're a foodie, right? You're obsessed with food. And you're like, if I could just work in the food industry, I will be so happy, pursue my passions, all my problems will be solved. But let's just say you hypothetically get that job, but then your manager is horrible, and you're not able to be creative in the role, and you have no work-life balance. And 70% of what you're doing, you hate anyways. It doesn't matter how passionate you are about it, you're going to be miserable. So a lot of the times, it doesn't come down to the passion. It comes down to a variety of other factors, but one of the things that I think is most important is actually your values, right? What are your career values that are most important to you? Is it creativity? Is it autonomy? Is it collaboration? Is it flexibility? Is it leisure, right? Think about what are the values that are core to me, and being able to find roles, companies, industries that align with those values is always going to lead to more satisfaction than just the straight up passion, right? If you can somehow weave your passion to, that's great, but it is not the solution to everything. So that's a big one that I hear all the time. Another, you know, career, like, I don't even know if I'd call this advice, but something that people are always continuing to do, even though like it just doesn't work, is just sending out tons of job applications, right? Especially in this job market right now, which is, you know, while on the surface, it seems like things are getting better. If you actually talk to job seekers, it still feels incredibly competitive. Spending your time sending tens, hundreds of applications per day, per week is just not an efficient use of your time. And it's always going to go back to the old school tactics of who do you know, what referrals do you have, who is in your network, how do you develop and build your network, and really focusing on that as opposed to like some hack that people think is going to, you know, break, like help you get past the ATS and all of a sudden like you're going to get your resume seen by 100 people. So don't focus on that. Don't put your time and energy there. Focus on your network always.
Gosh, nothing like having a name goes you straight up to the pile, especially these days with AI and so much of at least the preliminary vetting process being done through these bots. And when you're in the interview and you want to get clues and you want to get information about whether or not the culture there is the right fit, whether or not the things that you are passionate about will be accessible to you at this company, what are some questions you can ask and what are some even red flags you might spot? Like a friend of mine was going in for a job interview and she thought it was a little unusual that they said that the person who left before her, whose role she was filling, left on good terms. Like they wanted to make that clear, which I feel like is a red flag. Like you don't say that unless there's a story
100%.
There. Or you want to get ahead of something.
So, you know, I think there's a few things. One thing I would say is I'm actually not a big believer. Yes, you should ask those questions on the interview, but I'm a big believer in like pre-vetting prior to the interview. Because what happens is often once you're already in the interview process and call it, you're one of maybe like 3 to 5 candidates that they're interviewing, while you hope that they're going to be honest, and they should be, they're oftentimes trying to sell you in the same way that you're selling yourself, right? So you don't always get like that full, honest, authentic answer. So I'm a really big believer, and this is where it goes back to networking, in speaking with people, building relationships with people at those companies so you can do some of your own internal vetting and ask those hard-hitting questions to someone that you know is going to be more honest, right? So really thinking about like pre-vetting before the interview process. And then when you're having those conversations, being able to candidly say like, be honest with me. What do you like about working at this company? What do you not like about working at this company? Talk to me about company culture. These are some of the things that are important to me. Like how much of this is mirrored here, right? Then you can kind of have those more real conversations and not feel like you have to an extent, you know, mute yourself or kind of like make your questions sound a little bit nicer than they are. And sometimes another thing too is like talking to people who maybe recently left the company and really finding out why they left the company. So that's another thing that you can think about as well. And asking about things like retention, you know, what does retention look like? What does employee turnover look like? Talk to me about senior leadership, you know, has it been like the same leadership for a long time? Is there a lot of turnover from a leadership perspective? All those things are going to be very telling of culture, and being able to ask it to the right people in the right part of the job search process is going to be really key in terms of the types of answers that you get and how authentic they are.
And sleuthing this on LinkedIn is probably not that hard, right? You can look up, if I'm wrong, you can look up where people have worked. Like you look up the company and then you see who's worked there.
Yep.
And then you see their timeline, you know, were they there for 6 months? Is that a pattern, at least maybe within your department? What else can we use LinkedIn for as far as the investigation before we go on the job interview?
100%. Yeah. You can always see like prior companies that the person has worked at and how recently did they leave? How long were they there? All those different types of things. I mean, LinkedIn is really like the best like social media tool out there. I'm such a believer in that. It's so comprehensive. And I think people often, I hear from clients who go on and they're like, oh my God, LinkedIn has changed so much. So it's really worth like kind of exploring all the tools that are available to you. And like anytime you do a search for a company, you can filter by a million different things in terms of seniority level and, you know, job title and certain keywords in their profile and all those various things. So it's worth exploring all those different types of things. But what I really like to focus on specifically when going on LinkedIn is focus on first, like the company that you're interested in, right? I like to go from a company level, not a person level, because you might know a lot of people, but if none of those people work at companies you're interested in, then they're not really helpful to you, right? So start with the company that you're most interested in. And then I just start playing around with who has job titles that sound interesting to me, right? Hopefully at this point, like you already have a kind of a sense of the direction that you want to go and you've niched down a little bit, but then find people who have those titles that are, you know, the most interesting sounding to you and start reaching out to people. Like you don't have to be connected with them. The best people to go after are cold connections who you don't know, and just, you know, lean into, you know, flattery. I came across your profile. I was really interested in this project that you listed. I was super impressed by this work that you've done. You know, was curious if you'd be open to having a conversation where I could learn a little bit about your career growth. And then from there, you can really just, you know, go in on asking the types of questions that are most important to you. But there are a whole lot of different features that LinkedIn now has that you know, people often overlook for sure.
Yeah. I used to be not very active on LinkedIn, and I'm somewhat active now, but the reason I wasn't was because I assumed that, and maybe I was right at the time, I think it's evolved, as you said, wasn't quite a place for entrepreneurs to sort of network and connect. But I think that if you're a creator and you want brand partnerships and you want speaking opportunities, and now creators are going in-house at companies, I think it's kind of become this great melting pot of all types of professions, whether you work at a company or independently. It's pretty cool. I recommend everyone just like spend some time on LinkedIn. This is not a free ad for yeah. LinkedIn by any means, but I think it, to your point, it can be a really great resource tool. All right. You have a special offer for our listeners, and I want you to talk a little bit about the career upgrade program that is your signature course. And I guess it's a self-paced course, as you, there's only one Eliana Goldstein, so you can't work with everybody. So this is a way to get to work with you, at your own speed.
Yes. So the career upgrade course is my signature course that walks you through my 4-part job search process to, I say, both find and land a well-paid career you love, well-paid being key, right? Yes. That's what we've been talking about today. It's that balance. And I'm a big believer that, especially in the job market right now, that we need to have a methodology in terms of how we approach our job search, to be thoughtful about the companies that we're thinking about, to be thoughtful about how we're getting in front of people, making sure that we're getting in front of the right people, asking the right questions. Like I mentioned before, that pre-vetting process before you get into the interview, there are a lot of, you know, whether fortunately or unfortunately, there are a lot of things to think about as you approach your job search these days, because things have changed tremendously. So this is my, you know, signature 4-step process that walks you through all of those steps. And it's, you know, like the same bread and butter process that I use with my one-on-one clients and that I use in my group coaching program. So I believe in the offer today, we're, for anybody who wants to enroll, $100 off the course, and would love to support you in that. And like you mentioned before, I you know, as you become a business owner, there are like a lot of other things that you have to focus on. And unfortunately, I don't get to do as much like in the weeds coaching as I used to. But if anybody does want to, you know, focus on more, you know, one-on-one or hand-holding type programs, you can always connect with me on Instagram and we can figure out, you know, ways that we can support you.
Fantastic. Thank you for that offer. Yeah, I think there's a lot of us in the audience who would be curious to know what else is out there and what might be a better fit. And I know a lot of us coming out of the pandemic, especially, we're in all various transition phases. Maybe we're coming back into the workplace after taking some time off, or we're just realizing, okay, what am I doing? You know, really that soul searching became a constant exploration during the pandemic and since. And I think it's good. I think it's all good. And it's great to know that there are people like you out there that can help us and get us creating a roadmap, which is, you know, we need it so bad. Eliana Goldstein, thank you so much for giving us all this wonderful advice and insights into the workplace. It's always much, much needed, especially now. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much to Eliana Goldstein. To check out her signature course, the Career Upgrade Program, follow the link in our show notes. Use the code SOMONEY for $100 off the program.
I'll see you back here on Friday for Ask Farnoosh. I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.